You're listening to the Sisters in Loss podcast, a faith-based podcast that spotlights Black women who replace silence with storytelling around pregnancy and infant loss and infertility. Black women experience miscarriage and stillbirth 4 to 5 times more likely than white women, according to the NIH and CDC. Whether you've experienced a miscarriage, infant loss, stillbirth, are trying to conceive, or have an infertility diagnosis, you will learn about resources and strategies to heal, gain clarity, peace, hope, and find an empowering path forward after loss. I'm your host, Erica M. McAfee, and you will hear me interview sisters in loss who have healed from such a painful and traumatic experience by sharing their testimonies and stories to inspire and help others turn their pain into their purpose. Now let's get started.
Well, thank you so much, Shanika, for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I would love for you to share with the listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay, my name is Shanika House, or Shanika Vale House, as it's mostly seen. And I am a mom of two, and I struggle with what to call my, I guess, platform, you can say. To me, it's ministry, but then it's also a business, but it's my transparent moments. And from there, I share all about my motherhood journey, and I link it with, I call it, it's where real meets revelation. And so it's the realness of motherhood, but also the revelation that God gives me from the interactions between my daughters. So that is that. And I make mom apparel. I'm an author. I actually have 2 published children's books, and I am in the process of publishing the 3rd. I also have a devotional, a 30-day devotional for young adults, so young girls, and a wife, friend, you name it.
Awesome. So take us back on your journey to motherhood and share with us your loss story.
Okay, so I actually, I became a mom in 2015, but prior to that, I didn't know if I would have any fertility issues because I was having, I guess what some people would say is health challenges. I just was experiencing some things in my body and my family. They were a little nervous that it seemed to be consistent with what they've seen with people going through menopause early. And so they just asked me to go get it, you know, checked out and just make sure that everything was okay. And from that appointment, they found a goiter on my neck. So I had to have some testing with thyroids and all of that kind of stuff. So that kind of led me to wonder if, okay, am I going to have any issues with infertility? But because I wasn't married yet, I wasn't trying to have any kids. And so, of course, nobody was offering me any kind of testing to make sure that all of that stuff was okay. It was just kind of like, well, you just have to wait and see. So we got married, and 3 months into marriage, we actually conceived and had our first baby in 2015. And then not quite 2 years after that, surprise, found out we were having another baby. We're actually not planning for that one. We had actually been on contraceptives to not have a baby just yet. So she was just like, no, this is my time. I'm going to be here. So we had like 2 successful pregnancies, and motherhood was pretty easy for me. I didn't have really hard pregnancies or anything, just pretty much smooth sailing. And then just this past January, we found out that we were expecting our 3rd baby, and the anxiety that I had with that pregnancy was totally new. And so every day I was literally confessing, doing positive affirmations. I kept worship music playing. I kept positive books playing. I kept my YouVersion Bible app playing, anything that would feed my spirit and just kill the noise, the dead space from, you know, the anxiety that would rise. That was what I did, but it was the worst. And then about 9 weeks into my pregnancy, I found out that my baby did not have a heartbeat. And so I kind of found, I guess not found out, but I figured that that was where the anxiety was kind of stemming from. And for about 2 weeks after that, I still carried my baby. They, of course, gave me the option to have the medicine or to have the DNC. And I declined because, honestly, I was really expecting a miracle. I was like, I don't believe that that's my call. And if that's how it's going to happen, then it's not going to be because I just went ahead and jumped the gun. I'm just going to believe God for a miracle. So I actually carried my baby for almost another 2 weeks. So at about 11 weeks or at 11 weeks, almost 12 weeks, I actually did miscarry. And it was the most painful, not physically, but painful emotionally, most painful thing that I've ever been through. But it has turned into one of the biggest blessings. If I know that sounds weird, but so much good has come from so much pain.
Wow. So did you miscarry at home, or what was your process like?
It was, I started spotting, I think on that Thursday, and it was very, very light. So I would just, you know, wear like a panty liner. And then on Friday, I think there was maybe a little bit more, nothing drastic, but still that night I was like, you know what, I'll just kind of wear something, you know, just in case. And I woke up very, very early Saturday morning at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was wet. And I sometimes have night sweats. It's not uncommon. So I thought, oh man, you know, I've had another night sweat. I'm going to have to get up and change my pajamas. And as I reached for my phone to get some light, I noticed that it was blood. So I was like, oh man, you know, it's happened. And I woke my husband up and told him what had happened. So he helped me down the stairs into the bathroom. I wasn't in any pain. I had no cramps. I really felt nothing. And I got to the bathroom, and because of, you know, this was new to me, I don't know what to expect. So I was honestly scared, and not to give TMI, but I was scared to pull my underwear down because I didn't know, you know, what it was gonna be like. And so I was like, okay, you know, I'll pull them down, but I need you to look because I don't think I can do it. So he was like, okay, you know, I don't really see anything. And I was like, fine. And so in my mind, I wasn't thinking, but you still have to birth your baby. I was just, you know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm trying to process what's really happening. So just not even considering, I'm like, okay, you know, I just have to get in the shower. I'll clean myself up and I'll go back to bed. And he was like, you know, is there anything that you need me to do? And I'm like, no, there wasn't really anything that he could do at that point. And I got in the shower, and I was in there for probably about 10 seconds when I felt the baby coming. Still no pain, but I could feel the pressure. And I yelled for him, and I was like, you know, something's about to happen. And at that moment, that is when I birthed the baby right there in the shower. And it was the beginning of the most surreal 24, 48 hours of my life.
Wow. Lots of women share their miscarriage stories, and a lot of them end up in DNCs, but we rarely really talk about actually giving birth to in a miscarriage, you know, especially under, you know, 15 weeks. So I'm happy that you were able to share that with us and really share what that felt like. So what did you do after that 24 to 48 hours? Did you go to the hospital? Did they have to do a DNC on you? What happened next?
That next day, I continued to, of course, you know, I was still bleeding. But the concern for me was every time I went to the bathroom, I was passing clots so big, it literally felt like I was giving birth again. Not painful, but just actually feeling them. You know, it was like trauma over and over again every time I went to the bathroom. So I was hating to go to the bathroom that day, but of course I had to go. And one time going to the bathroom, I was, you know, coming down the stairs. And when I got to the bottom of the stairs, I was very, very nauseous and woozy, heavy breathing, almost as if I was about to have a panic attack. And my mother-in-law was there. And I was just telling her, you know, how I was feeling. I was sitting down at the kitchen table, and I was like, you know, maybe if I just sit down, it'll go away. And it was weird because that was the first time that it had happened that day. And when I felt like I was okay to get up to go to the bathroom, I got up, and before I could get there, I passed out. She called the ambulance and they came, and I was still on the floor. I was up, but she told me not to move. And they were asking me some questions, and, you know, I was explaining to them what had happened. And they were like, you know, well, it's probably because you are actually losing, you know, more blood than you're, you know, taking in fluid. So try to stay hydrated. And they asked me if I wanted to go, but because my husband wasn't at home and she was there with the girls, I would have had to go by myself. And I wasn't comfortable doing that because I always, when possible, want to go with somebody, you know, in case anything happens to me so that I can have somebody there to advocate for me or to just, you know, be there to support. And I was like, no, you know, I think I'll be okay if I just drink some more stuff or if I just eat something and go lay down. So that's what I did. I stayed downstairs. I didn't go back upstairs and I just rested, but I kept losing a lot of blood. And later on that evening, I almost passed out again. And my husband was like, okay, we're going to go. And so they called the ambulance back. They got me there to the ER. I had, you know, lost everything, the placenta and everything. So they didn't have to do a DNC, but I did have a lot of clots still. So the ER OB actually got them out by hand. Now, when you talk about all of the pain that I didn't have before, I experienced there in the ER. So, of course, he had to get those out. And then after that, he did this hand check that was super, super painful. But I just kind of like, not necessarily zoned out, but I just kind of fixed my focus on something and just breathed through it. But they got all that done, did the ultrasound to make sure that everything was gone. And it did cause the bleeding to go down drastically. So that was what they considered to be normal for, you know, having had a miscarriage, but my hemoglobin levels continued to drop. So they kept me there and they would observe me and just check my blood every couple hours. And they let me know that I had dropped from an 11 to a 9 and that I was still declining or the hemoglobin levels were still decreasing. And if I got to a 7, that I would need a blood transfusion. And so I was like, okay, this is getting real wild. Like, how am I right here right now? But I actually did had to have a blood transfusion while I was there. And that was actually right at the beginning of the lockdown here for us. And so they were kicking people out of the hospitals. You know, you can't have anyone here. We're just having the patients. And our nurse came in and told us, you know, that they're making everybody leave. But she had already informed them that they were not to kick my husband out, that he had been with me, that I was having a blood transfusion and that I would probably be getting discharged within the next couple of hours. Because I think we had already been there for like 24 hours at that point. And I thanked her for, you know, speaking up for us without us even having knowledge of what was going on. And so we stayed there for a couple hours and they made sure, you know, that I wasn't having any adverse effects to receiving the blood and sent us home to quarantine because that's what we left and went to. So I lost the baby and went to have a blood transfusion and then into quarantine because of the coronavirus.
Wow. Wow. I did not know that, Shanika. Yes. Oh my gosh. I did not know that part of your story. And I'm happy that, you know, and typically when I do my interviews, I typically don't go back and read people's stories just because I want to make sure that I fully capture everything. Mm-hmm. I did not know that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it's surreal. Like literally, I probably don't even really have the words for it. I mean, of course it was traumatizing, but to get back home and then still, you know, every day you have to get in the shower and I'm like, okay, I can't not shower. So I was like, just really praying, God, you're going to have to help me turn this to something because I can't come into this bathroom every day and be traumatized. Like I can't live like that. Well, you know, I can't pack up and go to another house right now. So I need you to help me through this place. And what was so ironic, if you could just, you know, use that term, I guess, about me actually giving birth in the shower was because weeks before I was standing in the shower and I tell people all the time when I carry my babies, I always pray about their purpose. And, you know, you see in the Bible how when women would find out that they were pregnant, how angels would come and tell them, you know, the purpose that God had for the babies that they were carrying. And it's my belief that he didn't stop doing that in the Bible days. So I always pray and ask God, you know, what's the purpose for this baby that I'm carrying so that I can begin to speak over them even now while I'm carrying them in my womb. And so that was what I was doing that day. The shower is kind of like my special place. It's like my closet, you know, my prayer closet. And I was just in there praying, and I just kept hearing God say, let justice flow like a river. And at that point, my husband and I, we have two girls, but we have always believed that we would have a boy. And so with this being the third pregnancy, I wasn't planning on having any more children. I was just convinced that, you know, this was him. And so when I was in the shower praying, and God just began to keep speaking that to me, and the things that I really felt like I was hearing him say about this baby, it didn't line up with the things that I had received about baby CJ, is what we call him. And so I was like, oh my gosh, am I having twins or what's happening? So I wrote it down in my journal, because I also journal when I'm pregnant. You know, it's kind of like something I want to keep and give to my children when they get older. And so I had been writing. And so in that journal entry, I wrote about how I kept hearing God say, let justice flow like a river. And I actually wrote, you know, oh my goodness, am I having twins? And is the twin supposed to be named Justice River? And I just kind of let it go. So once everything happened, I was like, oh, Justice River. And so we actually named the baby. I don't actually know the gender of the baby, but I believed in my heart it was a boy. But we did give the baby the name Justice River. And so in the same spot where I heard God say to me, let justice flow like a river, was the same place that I gave birth.
Wow. I love that you all named him too. I love that. It's amazing that you all were able to give him a name, and it has so much significance and meaning behind it. And now, you know, with your purpose, I really want to transition into just your grieving process, because really, the reason why I was so shocked, Shanika, because a few weeks later, you started the doula training. So.
I did. Literally, I did. And let me tell you how this happened. I'm telling you, and that's why I say so many beautiful things came from my baby's loss. Literally, while I was in the ER having these procedures done, one of my big sisters, she used to be a critical care nurse. So she had been checking in on me all that afternoon, just, you know, asking me how I was feeling. I was telling her how I'd been kind of faint, and she wasn't really pushing for me to go to the doctor, because she already knew that I was having a time, just what I was going through. But once I went, she was like, okay, I'm really glad you went. So she was just kind of giving me some, you know, some information. This is what they should be doing, or what it should look like, just to make sure that while I was in there, I was covered. And, you know, if they weren't doing something that they should have been doing, we could, you know, my husband and I, we could ask and, you know, just really be, you know, advocate for ourselves. And after the hand check that he did, that I was speaking of being really, really painful, he told me, he was like, okay, you know, what I'm about to do, you're going to hate me for it. So I was like, okay, this is about to be something that hurts. He was like, yeah. He was like, I'm sorry, it is going to hurt. And so when I didn't scream or didn't say anything, it just kind of fixed my gaze on something and just breathed through it. When he got to the end, he said, okay, I need you to come and teach a class on pain management. And I just kind of, you know, laughed it off. And when I told my big sister about it, she was like, yeah, I know. And then probably a couple hours later, she sent me a doula training link or something. I don't even think it was a training. It was just something with a doula on it. And she was like, you know, I know you hear from God, but I'm just planting a seed. And it would not leave me. It would not leave me. And when I was scrolling on social media, I saw that you were starting a doula training. And I was like, okay, so I'm just going to reach out about it. And for whatever reason, I thought you were in Atlanta. So I was just going to message you to get some more information, because I was like, oh man, you know, this is starting in like a week. I'm not even prepared for all of this. So I was like, but let me see if she's going to be doing this again. And so when I reached out to you, and you was like, oh, you know, I'm actually here in this area, and, you know, this is when it's going to start, and just kind of giving me the details, everything just literally fell into place. And I was like, okay, this is wild. Like, this is wild, but it was literally God. It was really all divine.
Oh my gosh, that is so amazing. Yeah, cause that's why I was so shocked. I'm like, hold on, we connected and this was all happening, and then you went straight into doula training.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you know, that is nothing but is divine. I mean, yeah. My goodness. So really, the birth and bereavement doula training was almost like a tool for your healing.
Yep, it was.
And I would love for you to share just your experience in that training and then kind of where you are now and how you're going to mold that into My Transparent Moments, which I love. I mean, I feel like it is definitely the right direction for your brand and everything that you're doing and God is destined you to do right now.
It is. That training was, it was like water and air. It was like, it was so life-giving and then also so uplifting. One, being able to see this information, and it literally lit a passion in me because I started it. You know, you think doula, you know, you're going to help people have babies. You love babies. I love people. I love moms, you know, so that's just going to be good. So I went in with kind of one mindset, but then to learn like the history and the things that, you know, women of color have to endure. And, you know, even though I didn't have any bad experiences or traumatic experiences with my previous births as it pertained to the way I was treated, you know, either in, you know, my OB's offices or actually the where we gave birth at in the hospitals. I didn't have those stories, but I knew people who had. So just being able to see all of that information and really wanting to reach out and be a hand for, you know, not just them as they go through the actual pregnancy and labor and delivery, but to fight for, you know, the politics behind it and to really be able to change some things and affect change for women of color going forward. It was just, it really lit a fire under me. And I was like, man, I had to really get into a place of prayer where I was like, God, like, why didn't you allow me to have this passion before? Like, I could have been 10 years into this already. And he was just kind of like, no, I called you for a time such as this. I didn't need you to do that then. But what has really brought everything full circle for me is that I traveled and worked as a personal assistant for my cousin for years. And I would do like mentorships and posts. And I had this whole little hashtag where assistants could go to the hashtags and just see nuggets that I would put out, you know, while I was traveling and stuff. And it was called Assistance to the Assistants. And that was just something that I kept doing even as I became a mom, but it kind of transitioned from assistants to being the same thing for mothers. So it's like I was the assistants to moms who are also assistants because we assist in, you know, so many different capacities. So then coming into this training for being a doula, it was like I really saw the two marry each other. So it was the assistants to the assistants meeting My Transparent Moments and really coming into being a birthing assistant. So it's been extremely life-giving for me. So you lose one thing, but I've gained so much more. And one of the scriptures that I've really held on to during this season has been, you know, accept a seed, die. You know, one seed, it's just that one thing. But once it falls to the ground and it dies, it produces a harvest. Although there was the pain of losing my baby, the harvest that has come from that seed is so great. And so this is all a part of me really allowing justice to flow like a river. And so it's so amazing that, you know, we would choose that name justice because that's even a part of what we're doing as a doula, fighting for justice for, you know, women of color in these birthing arenas. So it's been life changing.
Oh man, girl. Yes, I love that. Yes, and bringing it back to justice. Yes, that is exactly what we're doing. And I'm so happy that you gained so much from this training. I mean, literally weeks after you had this traumatic miscarriage experience, I mean, live miscarriage in your house and, you know, definitely going and finishing in that at the ER. I'm happy. I feel destined. So to give you all some background too on me and this training, I've been holding on to this training for a year. And I felt God tugging at me last year in 2019 to do this training, but I just kept feeling like it needed to be perfect. Like I needed to have everything already rolled out and done and all of the above. And something, once Corona started, you know, I was just like, well, a lot of people probably
have more time now. Let me see if I can get, you know, I was thinking I was gonna have like 10 people in the training. Like I did not even set expectations high just because I just didn't know, but I just felt a tug to do it. And, you know, now we have what, the second cohort. I mean, we have almost 45 doulas. You know, we're doing two more cohorts for the year. You know, I'm praying that we close out the year with over 100 doulas trained, working on their certification. And I feel like it has been divine with each of the ladies who have been a part of this training. It has been a divine connection for sure. For each one has a story that definitely needs to be told. And they definitely are here for justice. They're definitely here to continue the work going forward. So I would love for you to share how you are integrating your doula services now into My Transparent Moments and the things that you do online.
I am actually, my plan is to do what's called birthing moments. And again, I say a moment is not necessarily just a time, a minute, but it's really a place of revelation and just carrying life and birthing life. It is so much more than just having a baby. Like, the experience is just, it's so spiritual. So I loved to be, you know, being able to say, okay, we're not just birth, because you're birthing a mom too, not just first time moms, but every time you have another child, you literally become another person. You grow and you change and you evolve. So birthing moments is what I'm kind of doing to bring that into My Transparent Moments. And I'm working on the coursework. I am actually excited because I got my first client on Sunday to be one of my clients for, you know, preparing for a certification. And I actually got to share with them the story of how I came to this place and being a doula. And I was just explaining to them, and I looked up and her mom were in complete tears. And she's like, how are you telling this story without crying? And, you know, I'm like, okay, well, you know, I've been dealing with it for a couple of months now, so I can do it now. And it's just the joy that I have from everything that's come from it. It really has taken the sting out of the death that occurred those months ago. So I can talk about it. And although I will always miss my baby, but I can speak about it and smile because, yes, he's still with me, but he gets to be a part of so many other stories through what I now will be able to do with being a doula. I've had, you know, moms who follow me. We've been praying for them to conceive and bear children. I actually do faith onesies, and that comes from during the span of time when I wasn't sure that I would be able to birth children. I actually purchased some onesies from a lady on Instagram who was selling her son's clothes that had gotten too small. And I love anchors, and she had some anchor onesies. And so I purchased them from her, put them in my closet, and I looked at them every day, and I confessed that it was God's will for me to conceive, carry, and birth children into the earth. And so I made my own faith onesies. And so I have moms who reach out and they purchase those. And we just, you know, pray and believe God that that is his will for their life as well. And so those same women who now seeing that I'm becoming a doula is like, oh my gosh, are you going to travel? Or, you know, will we be able to do this virtually? And it has been so overwhelming in the best way to know that they would trust me. Also with that part of their process, just believing to conceive, but also when it's time for them to birth, that they would like for me to be present in some shape, form, or fashion to just really be there and assist them during that like beautiful time. It has been amazing.
Awesome. I love it. Love it. So I would love for you to share really any other tools or resources that you have used. Talk about some of the books that you've used that really have helped you heal. We talked a lot about the training, but any other things that you use to help you on this healing journey?
Supernatural Childbirth was very, very healing. I actually began listening to it last year. I wasn't pregnant. I wasn't trying to get pregnant, but I listened to it as a means to have some more insight to women who were struggling with conceiving and just really targeting some prayers on, you know, how to confess and how to pray as it pertained to them. And so once I actually became pregnant, then I began to listen to it, you know, on Audible for myself and read it and recite those scriptures and things like that. But then once I lost my baby, I still used it because they had stories in there of women who had lost their babies and, you know, endured miscarriages. But then they also tell the part of the story of how God restored them. So it wasn't just, you know, helpful for me during the before and the during, but it was also really beneficial for me after to make sure that I didn't lose faith and that I didn't lose hope. And then I also, which is, it's not weird. It's just God. It's the way he does things. He had the children's book that I spoke of that's now being published. I wrote it last year just at his assigning me to do so. I stopped working on another book that I was working on to do that one. And it's called Expecting CJ. And so once I got pregnant, I was like, oh, okay, it makes sense now. You had me write this book because you knew that I was going to be having him. And then that wasn't the case. But in the time where I lost my baby or find out that he didn't have a heartbeat and I was believing God for a miracle, I read that book every day. And I was like, you didn't have me write this for people. You had me to write this for me. And then afterwards, I just kind of was praying, like, I still don't understand, you know, why this book, why right now? And then I realized because it was for me to have to read in this part so that I wouldn't lose my faith, so that I would still expect CJ, because that was a promise that he made to me and he always makes good on his promises. So it's not published yet, but it is still a book that really helped me during this time. This really helped to encourage my faith.
You know, one thing that I love about your story, Shanika, is that you were obedient to God. When God told you to write, you wrote. You know, when God told you to move, or you heard something in your dreams or in your prayers, you acted on it. And I love that about your faith walk. And it led you to this doula. It led us to connecting. I mean, if there's anything you get out this episode, y'all, is that when God speaks to you, you need to move, because yes, you just never know what's on the other side of that.
Never know.
I love that about your story and about you. So right now, we're still in Corona time, right? We're living in a time of uncertainty. And a lot of the listeners have, you know, stopped fertility treatments because of Corona. You know, a lot of women are pregnant after loss and are going through this pandemic, having to deliver their baby during this pandemic. And a lot of women are just still uncertain if they want to try again during this time. So I would love for you to leave our listeners some encouraging words on what they can do during this time of uncertainty.
During this time of uncertainty, you know, and I'm not just saying this, you know, as encouragement to you. It's something that I've had to speak to myself as well, because I said the same thing, you know, do I even want to try to do this again in the middle of this when things are so uncertain? And I just continue to do what I've always done. And I rely on the thing that has always been certain for me. And that has been my faith in God, just really trusting and believing him to lead and direct me, knowing that he knows more than me. He knows better than me. And that has been the thing that has held me together. Of course, you know, I'm human. So I have my, okay, I don't know about that moments, but then he always does something to confirm his word. So continue to pray, continue to believe, and surround yourself with people who will encourage your faith and even believe for you when you don't.
Amen. Amen. So where can our listeners connect with you after this episode?
You can find me on social media. I am on Facebook at Shanika Vail House, and on Instagram, I am at My Transparent Moments and also at Shanika Vail House.
Thank you so much, Shanika, for sharing your story and rounding out this doula series that I'm doing with all of my doulas. So I'm so happy that I was able to share your story.
Yes, thank you so much, Erica.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. For show notes, go to sistersinloss.com. To stay connected with us and join the Sisters in Loss community and receive my weekly newsletter, please go to sistersinloss.com/newsletter. That is sistersinloss.com.
faithbasedpodcast.com/newsletter. Please rate and review this episode, and I will talk to you next week.